Good morning, everyone. My name is Max Gock. I'm at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas, and I actually want to talk to you all about health and all policies and really think about some ways that law could possibly foster cross-sector collaboration around health. So I have no relationships to disclose. What I want to do with you is really talk about this approach, talk about the role that law could possibly play, and then really quickly run through the usefulness of this kind of approach. So I'm really excited that health and all policies is the theme for the APHA meeting next year, and I'm really looking forward to learning from everybody who's doing research in this area. But first, I wanted to really define what it is. So really, at its core, it's the idea that health should really be integrated into all sorts of policies, laws, projects, and programs that typically don't consider it. So sectors like transportation, parks and recreation, the environment, corrections, education, that make decisions all the time that impact health down the road, should really be thinking about health in making those decisions. So I want to emphasize that this is an approach that's inherently flexible and that different jurisdictions take this on differently, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. It's also based on the idea that collective impact is really the best way to try to address some of these really complicated issues like health that have so many moving parts and so many mediators. It's also related to health impact assessments, for those of you who are familiar with that, and I like to sort of think of health impact assessments as a way to engage in health and all policies work. Health and all policies isn't necessarily a new concept. It's existed for a long time. Agencies have been doing this for a long time. It's had other names like healthy public policy. And the last thing I wanted to emphasize is that there's really a lot of room here for additional research and evidence to figure out both whether this approach really ends up helping health down the line and also what are some of the best ways to engage in health and all policies work. So the key elements of health and all policies work are, again, inserting health and equity into decisions made by other sectors, really transforming the way that particularly government, but really all sectors do business to try to work together across sectors to try to improve health, and really benefiting multiple partners who are more likely to be incentivized to work together if they can see the advantage to themselves from engaging in this kind of work. And also making sure that we're engaging with stakeholders when it comes to prioritizing and figuring out what strategies are likely to work. And for those of you that are interested in this topic and are not familiar with the Guide for State and Local Governments put together by the California folks and APHA, I highly recommend that as some light reading. So the logic behind health and all policies is really, you know, based on this idea that the social determinants of health are really important in eventually leading to our health outcomes, and that if we can get to some of those upstream causes, we can have an impact in downstream causes and therefore health impacts, and also on the related idea that population impact is really most robust when we can change context and get at some of those socioeconomic factors. So health and all policies, again, it's an approach. There's no formula, but one question that comes up is in figuring out how to do this is how formal to be in the health and all policies approach in a jurisdiction. And some jurisdictions have used law to facilitate this approach, and others rely on informal relationships between different sectors to try to get health and equity into those other sectors. And I think that this isn't really a dichotomy. I think both are really, really important, or at least potentially important. For example, I think the relationships are really necessary, even if you have a law-based approach to actually work together around health. So I wanted to really ask how law can facilitate cross-sector collaboration, which is a really big piece of health and all policies. And I think you can have 9 different ways or 5 different ways, or depending on how you categorize it. But I really think law can facilitate collaboration in a number of different ways. I won't have time to give you examples of all of these today, but I'll give you some. So it can really require authorized collaboration, establish collaborative institutions, prescribe collaborative processes or outcomes, assign responsibility, foster informal relationships, prioritize an issue, coordinate government efforts, and provide funding. So just a couple examples. It can actually require collaboration through a legal duty. And two examples here. One is out of Knox County, Tennessee, where their ordinance requires health departments to work with other agencies when public health is affected. And relatedly, but kind of a different spin on this, is the California Health and All Policies Task Force, which was created by Governor Schwarzenegger by executive order in 2010, actually requires all state government agencies that report to the governor to work with this task force on health issues. You can also authorize collaboration. I think lots of us have probably seen or heard about broad grants of authority to public health departments or boards of health, and I think that those can really be used to really be a source of authority to collaborate with other agencies when health is involved. Whether they're explicit, where there's an actual authority to advise and inform local government authorities on all health issues, or they're implicit, where the grant of authority is pretty broad. Law can also establish institutions for collaboration. So one example created by the Ohio Revised Statute is an Ohio Ex-Offender Reentry Coalition that is comprised of these different sectors. And they really get together recognizing that reentry is really a complicated problem and really more of a spectrum that needs to be addressed in multiple ways and have a collective goal of trying to reduce recidivism by 50% in 5 years. I think a lot of us have probably seen these commissions, boards, committees, work groups, task forces, whatever words are used in different jurisdictions, but they can really establish collaborative institutions. They can also prescribe a process or outcome. In other words, require particular action. So this example is out of New York City, where the Child Fatality Review Team, which includes the Children's Services Department, the Health Department, as well as the Police Department, is really trying to prevent child deaths and study the problem. And there are actual specific provisions within the administrative code and now the statute that requires them to meet at least quarterly, submit annual reports, and actually engage in certain collaborative actions. Usually responsibility is an issue, right, when you're working with folks in any kind of context, and I think law can be helpful here, too. It can actually determine agencies that are responsible for tasks. For example, in Montgomery County, Maryland, by executive order of the county executive, all executive branch departments have to take reasonable steps to remove language barriers to public service services to folks living in the county, and it actually requires the chief administrative officer to oversee overall compliance, to provide oversight to departments, and to develop accountability measures. Another example is out of Texas, where the Texas Interagency Council on Homelessness, created also by statute in that state, which really is comprised of representatives who deal with homelessness in different agencies, including health, mental health, the Attorney General, Veterans Affairs, Education. And they all really get together to advise the Department of Housing there. And the purpose of this council is really to coordinate statewide services on homelessness, to foster information exchange, to be a central resource and information center on this issue. And interestingly, I think it can also provide for funding, right? So law is how a lot of public health gets funded. And just one example is the D.C. Mayor's Council on Physical Fitness, Health, and Nutrition, also created by statute in D.C., which brings together the health department, the schools, and the mayor's office and the Parks and Recreation Department to really try to advise the mayor on how to increase physical activity and increase nutritious food availability. And the statute there creates a separate fund for the exclusive council use and authorizes receipt of contributions, requires depositing of money into this fund, and the use of this fund solely for nutrition and physical activity purposes. And obviously, for those of us who are familiar with the appropriations process, law is also how you actually appropriate funding for really anything, including cross-sector collaboration. So I wanted to spend just a minute or two talking about the role of law in cross-sector collaboration. It's not necessarily a panacea, and health in all policies is really the idea behind it is that it's a flexible approach. But it does provide some useful opportunities, particularly when there's pushback from other sectors who may feel like health is not really their domain, or they have other priorities. When there is a legal provision to turn to, it can really encourage participation from these other agencies. It can also clarify authority. It can set priorities and outlive administrations where relationships are really the dominant way of collaborating across sectors. On the other hand, a big part of working across sectors, as anyone who's ever worked in any kind of group environment knows, is really all about relationships, right? Or at least that's a very big part of it. And organic relationships can't really be forced. So that's sort of a challenge. And the other related challenge is, depending on the legal provision, there might be less flexibility enshrined in this kind of approach than using sort of more informal approaches. And the other challenge is that it can often, the legal provisions that are related to cross-sector collaboration can often be process-focused, which isn't necessarily a problem, but certainly doesn't guarantee any particular outcome, as we've all seen, I think. I think a general observation about health in all policies is really that whether it's formal or informal, priorities are really important. And what ends up happening is that health and equity gets inserted into some policies, not all policies. And thanks so much.